Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Honey, I'd like to say this publicly now. I know I've had my moments, but I have never destroyed the house on Christmas Eve. And because of the busted pipe, Robert has lost his sofa, he's lost his mattress, he's lost his rug, and he has no lock on his door because when they were repairing it, they had to kick his door open. So right now they are looking.
What, do you have a padlock on it?
Well, no, he has a locked door because, you know, he has his own room there.
Combination lock.
Of course. Hi, Mike. Did you hear Trent this morning at Starbucks? Oh. Starbucks. I tell you what. That's exactly what I needed this morning.
When did you get back from Indiana?
Yeah. Every time he hits that button and talks, it's great. Good old Trent.
Trent, you haven't been on the microphone for a while. When did you get back?
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back after an undeserved vacation. We are back with new episodes for 2023. We are live from Podville Media in Washington, D.C. and around the world. You are listening to The Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome to the party, and please join us along with our friends in great places like Aventura, Florida. Is it Aventura or Aventura?
Aventura.
Aventura.
Like, yes. Adventure.
I live here. Santee, South Carolina. How are you? Wapakoneta, Ohio, and Sloan, Nevada, Auburn, Washington, and Willing, New York. Everybody can get laid there.
The spirit, Mike. The spirit is willing.
Welcome to the show. Well, a lot to cover with our extended break of the year when we go see family and friends, or we just vegetate and cry about not being able to do the sport you love, because your body is slowly and steadily falling into the abyss. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We've got Oscar, who's coming back today from Los Angeles.
One more day.
Rob in Washington, D.C., and yours truly down here in West South Florida. We're delighted to have you with it. I need to get back to something I mentioned before the break and just get it off of my chest here, because I know I've done it before, but I have to do it one more time because he was at the window today. My routine, I drive my kid down to his school and drop him off, because right now I am solely relying on my wife for income. That's how it works. And she's pulling the strings. I'm her marionette. And she says, can you drop him off today? I'm saying, yes, dear, I can. That's how it works. So I drop him off. And then, because I'm a great husband, I pick myself up a little soy milk latte and my wife a cafe grande, a grande black pipe roast thing.
Yeah.
Starbucks.
Now, house blend, really.
Second time, third time, fifth, sixth time for me. Probably the second time I've mentioned on the show. I hear through the speaker that it's this guy. And I just want your thoughts on it. Because I just don't think... I will tell you first off, I don't think this falls into the category of Mike, do anything. You don't do anything. You just eat it. But I can bitch on my show because that's what I do. So if you were waiting for the bitching of 2023, this would be the first one. For those of you that hate this part of the show, pound sand, lick my Irish bag. I'm going to do it because this is what I do. So I'm talking two, maybe three cars in front of me. I hear the speaker. All right.
Oh, no.
It sounds something like this. You hear like,
good morning. How are you?
And I'm hearing, and I know it's that guy. It's the sing-songy guy. And, the tone never changed. By the way, I got to look at him. He doesn't take the money at the window. That's it, because it's Starbucks. He's the guy behind the money at the window that's working the speaker and putting in the orders. And he's doing everyone. When he gets to me, this is exactly how it sounds. Good morning. Welcome to Starbucks. It's a beautiful day. What can I get for you today? And I really... At that moment, because I'd heard him now for three cars, I resisted the urge to say, well, I think I'll have a venti soy milk latte. But I didn't, because I'm not going to do it to him.
That might be, Mike, that might be the best way to handle it.
No, because here it is. And Carla and I discussed this before the show. How did she put it? She nailed it. She said, is it worth it? It's not worth it to do this. This is him making his job better for him. He's doing whatever he needs to do to get through that shift. He's dealing with slinging flavored water for 1,000 people. I'm not. At the same time, I think that if he were to get on the speaker and say, welcome to Starbucks, my name's Ken, what can I get you? It would just be so much easier for him. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he chooses to do. Would that be an accurate description of passive aggressive when he's doing that kind of, or no?
No,
or
is it just being Mike, I used aggressive? To, when Safeway was dead, like at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night, and I would be the only check stand open. You have to make fun for yourself. And if he's got
if you don't care about the customers.
Yeah, if you don't care, you make a game for yourself.
You understand what I'm saying? Because
there are customers that probably enjoy his attitude.
Yeah.
I bet you think. No, I wouldn't, but don't you think there's some hens running around down there that are gonna say, "You're so fun. You're fun." Don't you think there's that person?
If they are, I wouldn't even want to check those IQ scores.
Well, of course, that's true, but it's not like they don't exist. They're there.
Carla said, and this was the word to describe it, that it was obnoxious, that he's being obnoxious.
Okay, all right.
With his phony patter. And I'll tell you who he looks like, okay?
Oh, good.
He is so skinny. He is so skinny that on skinny arms, you see the kind of the flesh hanging down.
Yeah.
He probably would be in his late 30s if he's not in his mid to late 40s.
So he's older.
Oh, yeah.
I had him pictured as like a 20-year-old.
Not a chance.
Oh, okay. That changes it a little bit. A
20-year-old wouldn't have the confidence for that. But I really resisted the urge to, I'm not there every day of the week. And I'm also there for, I have an 8-second interaction with him. So there's really no, but at the same time, I want to reach through the speaker and pull him out through it.
Does he look like a celebrity at all?
Yeah, Pony Boy.
Oh, he looks like Ichabod?
He looks like Pony Boy if Pony Boy works at Starker. But unlike Pony Boy, who would say, "Welcome to Starbucks, going to take," and would be perfectly normal. By the way, of all of us, the person that has the greatest likelihood of perhaps working at a Starbucks,
yes,
would be a Pony Boy
and excelling. You
know? Great higher education.
So,
Pony, try this. Would you like a cake pop?
Hi, would you like a cake pop?
See,
here's the question.
Got it.
Here's the question for you. Do you think that wears out the other employees?
No, they don't know.
They don't even care.
No. I mean,
they're not even engaged with it.
Julia dated a barista for a couple years.
Well, a year. Henry. Okay. Yeah.
So what was he like?
He was not like that.
I'd love he not was, like that. I'd love was, just business as usual. Nobody wants at 7:50 in the morning when I've dropped my kid off at school and I'm getting ready to come back and go to work. Nobody wants that.
Henry Henry was super chill. And I think you just need to understand in that position, especially on the morning shift, people are all about one thing, efficient provision of the caffeine. That's what they want.
I'm not going to.
But.
Just ask.
But
him.
In a world.
But if I would never have a personal interaction with that
you
guy.
You should be like, hey, let me ask you something.
Have him out to dinner.
Is this, just tell me your immediate personality. You know, just say
I'm something of a famous media personality.
That's the easy way to get the cameras right out. Let's shoot this guy when he gets to the window.
You compliment him. You say your patter is, you know, you have good vibes, good shtick. Is it something you're putting on, or is this how you are all the time?
I have no intention of saying that.
Why
would I say that?
I'm
not going to lie like he's lying. he's in effect lying. He doesn't care that much where he's like, good morning. He's doing that. That is me. Okay, asshole, what do you want? Do you understand, Oscar? I mean,
yeah,
I'm not
Dan
going
O'Brien's
to compliment.
Peppy
I
want like to. Dan O'Brien's
what's that?
Peppy. Dan O'Brien.
Well, on the show, he does.
No. Yeah, he's not like that when he's in the lobby.
When he's talking to clients, he is.
No, he's just, he's not like that, though. He's
This is so good for me to be back on this show. This is so healthy for me. This is so wonderful for me. I realize how much I need it.
What is your take, Oscar? What is your take when Dan is in the lobby? And Dan is, among any many things, he is our director of first impressions here. He's at the front
desk. He makes a great first impression because he's engaged.
Yeah.
So if somebody drops a stamp, he cares about the stamp.
And he's a well-manicured, well-groomed, Middle-earth lad that people enjoy.
Middle-earth? Like a hobbit?
How dare you?
Yeah.
Mike.
Remember, of the O'Brien family, he's the tall one.
This Debbie, I am so sorry.
Love you, Debbie.
Dan, in a sweetest way, engages with everybody, whether they're a celebrity, a top-tier politician, you know.
But he's not over the top, though. He's not, just polite.
I want to pretend that he does. He's faking that he cares so much, but he cares.
He does genuine.
He is genuine.
He's genuine.
Not like the Starbucks guy.
I think when he's doing that, hey, all right. I put the order in. I said, I'll have a soy milk latte and a grande black coffee. And he says, awesome.
Okay.
It's not awesome. It's not even close to awesome.
Maybe he's.
Oh, you think?
Why not, right?
The booger sugar?
They don't. They don't test you, do they?
I think it's meth.
By the way,
Florida.
My favorite expression for that. Yes. Booger sugar.
Booger sugar.
That, I mean, maybe there's, they don't, you know, every maybe morning say pee into a cup.
I bet they don't test at Starbucks because they would lose a lot of employees, I think.
You really think there are a lot of, you think
I think
the
there's a lot of potheads.
Starbucks
I think there's
doing,
a lot of potheads.
Oh, I'm sure there are a lot of potheads.
Yeah, but
I've probably
but,
seen a lot of potheads.
Yeah,
there, yeah.
I have.
You, okay,
but that's
do,
not going to make a guy go, hey, well,
let's
maybe
do socio, let's do like just overall socioeconomics.
Okay.
You're probably not doing blow fine because you just can't afford it, right? Even if you're a manager top tier, it's, I heard cocaine's very expensive. I don't know for sure. But meth is cheap, and that's what I've heard. Definitely meth.
Crystal meth.
Yeah. And they can make it. They can make it in the pots there. At Starbucks, they have.
It's a lab.
They have
by
all
morning,
the equipment.
By morning, coffee. By afternoon, a meth lab.
Why is the coffee crystal blue? It's delicious.
Let me ask you this, Oscar. I'm going to ask Oscar this.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. This is the way, if you were to say, you have to call the guy today. If like you guys were saying, you have to call the manager and try to, this is how I would do it. Okay. Tell me what you think.
Okay.
Right? Call the guy. Hey, how you doing? Hey, listen, I've got a very, very frivolous complaint that I hope you won't think makes me a monster. But there is a guy in the morning there that has this phony greeting where he goes, hey, how are you? Like that. And I don't care what you do about it. I just had to let you know how annoying it is to me and my wife. And I don't know, you know, whether it's even my place to ask him to stop. But if I could, and then I'd be gone. What would that be? Would
the
that
manager be a reason? Would respond. Like
how would he respond?
Thank you. Your feedback is welcome and it's appreciated.
Appreciated, yeah.
In this tight economy, I'll take guys that chew rocks. So respectfully, we're keeping him.
So you're gonna keep Trent around or whatever his name is.
Trent's a perfect name, Rob.
I thought so.
Trent's the perfect name for. So we're gonna let Trent be Trent.
Yeah. Trent flag fly, and that's fine. And sir, thank you. Here is a 25-cent coupon off of a Napoleon.
We'd like to give you a free. I'm still gonna go. I mean, it's still the most convenient.
They know
one.
That
I can walk to it. I've driven my bike to it. So I mean, you know,
they've got you over
driven
a barrel.
My bike.
Yeah,
that's how you know somebody doesn't ride a bike a lot. I've driven my bike.
I've piloted.
Anywho, I just had to get that off my chest.
It's poor, really poor Trent. Choice. That poor guy Trent. Probably, that manager, either he's getting a ton of, you know, as Rob said, house frows saying he's so delightful. I had
you're
my
exactly
way.
Right about that. That nothing would make, if I heard that kind of an exchange, I think the top of my head would explode.
Hi, Mike.
Really
did you hear Trent this morning at Starbucks? Oh. Starbucks. I'll tell you what. That's exactly what I needed this morning.
When did you get back from Indiana?
Yeah. Every time he hits that button and talks, it's great. Good old Trent.
Trent, you haven't been on the microphone for a while. When did you get back?
You still going to dental school, Trent?
Trent.
Putting yourself through dental school. You know what? After you talk to Trent, you almost don't even need your soy latte. He's wonderful. Trent.
Trent, I'll eat you for a frappuccino.
Oh, no.
Okay, now to the serious story that we were not on Tuesday, so we weren't able to talk right. about it yesterday, but we'll talk about it today, the situation that we have with DeMar Hamlin of the Buffalo Bills. I was not watching Monday Night Football, so I became aware of this on social as I was on my computer and then popped over to the game. And when I did, I saw the field was empty and I saw that all the stands were still filled, and that immediately freaked me out. And then, you know, in very short order, I found out what the deal was. The latest, as we come to tape here on this is Wednesday, January 4th. The latest we hear is that he is improving, but mm-hmm. he is still critical and he is still heavily sedated. That's mm-hmm. what I get when I come in here. I would love once he's out of the woods, I'd love to talk about another defensive back. I'd love to get Dominique if
Absolutely.
Any possibility
when you get back into DC,
because Dominique is has already commented in his different forums
correct.
On this, and you know, there's nobody that's better at expressing what that must be like for a player. Here's the only reason I bring it up is because that I wanted to share the silver lining, which I don't do very often, but I wanted to share the silver lining of, if you ever had a doubt that collectively as human beings, or let's just say as Americans, that we can take a moment and come together in a common concern for another human being. That was it. Look, I'm a huge football fan. I know all the negative things that are associated with the game. It is a violent game. One thing that attracts Americans to the game is that level of violence. It's true. I own it lock, stock, and barrel. Just like I don't mind seeing a fight in hockey. There's something that in me that wants to see that, and football is no exception. But I was... at the end of the day, when everything was when they reported that he was at the hospital and that they had restarted his heart, and I was able to take a breath and I was able to take a pause, I reflected on the fact that empathy and compassion ruled the day. Now, I think that there is a tremendous lack of that in society when we're talking about issues, when we're talking about divisions and all of that. And I've always been a big advocate for it. I've always thought that we on this show demonstrate it when need be. And it's just, it was gratifying to me to listen to the commentary, to watch the talking heads that had an excruciatingly difficult task mm-hmm. to, as they were waiting the hour before they postponed the game, hard to talk.
Yeah.
Hard to talk. There's only so much you can say in that situation. But I felt that compassion and that unification that we all had in that moment of, in that horrible moment where, and then after that, it was all I was thinking, and I'm still thinking that. I hate the fact that it's off the front page right now, because I want to know every minute how this kid is doing. He sounds like a phenomenal human being, and a totally fluke injury, perhaps. We don't know the details yet, but they test these guys. They do cardiological workups on these guys, so it's usually not a congenital type of thing. It was based on the impact that happened in a very fluky way, caused the heart to flutter and... Mm-hmm. The rest
at the wrong time of the beat, right?
Right. So it just for me was that was the ray of sunshine, and now it's like when I heard, I think yesterday, that maybe it might have affected his lungs to a degree. I just wish for that family, that wonderful family, that wonderful kid, a full and total recovery. But I just was impressed by the way everybody handled it. Collectively. It seemed like a positive moment in our society, didn't it?
Yeah, if I may, I want to echo your sentiments. I was here watching, as I mentioned, my flight this afternoon, but I was watching with my brother-in-law, who's a pediatric intensivist. He works on babies' hearts.
Right.
And I think like most Americans or, you know, the world, you see a sight like that, and what really gets you right away, even before you get to the medical side of it, is the grief that you see unraveling in front of your eyes.
Yes.
Yeah. In real time.
Yeah, those kids. And their kids.
Yeah, and you see these, you know, warriors or gladiators, you know, of our modern day, who are like, their tears, like waterworks, true. Yeah. They're scared. And
they're scared. They're upset.
And for Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, you know, a Maryland alum, you sit there and you're shocked. Like, you're shocked, mm-hmm. as a viewer. The level of compassion that then says this is more than just you know, a hit. That's what the first thing that at least struck me, where you sit there and it's like, it's this collective grief.
Right.
And look, I'm well aware that there's a mom, there's a family, so it's really about Damar's health and well-being. But from a viewer's perspective, and I don't look at it, I don't have any children yet, but, you know, there are different lenses that everybody looks at this, mm-hmm. through, where some, like, you know, Ryan Clark is on ESPN, Monday Night Football. I've had the pleasure of talking with him personally multiple times in the past, with the work we've done with ESPN. And you could see, even as he did a masterful job of, yeah. navigating with Scott Van Pelt, you could see everyone is shocked, because we hadn't seen something like this before in this manner. And for a handful of analysts that come on, you talk about players, they talk about the collective bargaining agreements and what's at risk for these players. And, you know, some people say, yeah, I understand, and I'm paraphrasing here, that I could get a high ankle sprain. I could get paralyzed. The stakes are high. I don't vest into the overall NFL pension until I'm 3.5-4 years into playing in the league. So he's 2 years in, and a lot of people have this context that we just don't, where you're like, if this is his career, this is it.
Yeah.
And yeah. Beyond his
usually
career,
that's what it is. I've seen tears, yeah. when a guy blows out a knee for the third time, you know, mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it. And the players know that. But this, you know, imagine when I hear they're giving CPR, that's a gut punch. I don't know the team. I don't know the guy. I don't know, but that's a gut punch. Imagine what it is for the players on that field to witness that.
And the family. Ugh, so the CPR, the medical response team, with the hospital nine minutes away.
Saved his life.
Yeah, saved his life. And I would say that...
hopefully. He's not out of the woods yet.
Well, my brother-in-law gave me context after we realized that it was a blow to the chest and not the head, because we initially thought that it was a concussion,
sure.
that then like shut off his brain, and that's why his heart wasn't beating. That's why they were doing CPR.
Which would have been worse.
Yes, which would have been worse. Mm-hmm. My brother-in-law was kind enough to like sit down and explain to me, like, okay, this is what's going to happen. And to a T, it's what's happening. We're not going to know tomorrow, which was yesterday, the day, mm-hmm. after. They're going to, if they've intubated him, they're going to cool down his body. They're going to give the right medications in to prevent any brain swelling.
Right.
So
they've sedated him. Right.
He's had, my brother-in-law has had a different case with a 17-year-old, like, you know, 9 months ago, he said, in a similar fashion, that within 3 weeks, they woke up and they were up and running.
Wow.
I hope that's, you know, so many people are watching this. I hope it happens. Yeah, Rob.
A question, and I'm a bit naive because I'm the least sports-minded of everyone on the show, and I'm curious. Some of the initial reactions I saw on social media was that this was mishandled by the NFL because they should have postponed the game immediately.
I just totally disagree with that.
And the more I read about it, the more I think that what they were dealing with is something unprecedented.
Right.
With no game plan in play.
Agreed.
And I think that the NFL, and believe me, I'm no cheerleader for the NFL. Mm-hmm. I think they handled it in a very effective and appropriate way. And I'm curious what your thought is.
I agree with you 100%. I think that they took a situation that hasn't happened before.
Right.
They waited. They noodled it through. They got input from everybody, the players, the coaches, and made the correct decision. Ultimately, when you make the right decision, I'm not going to quibble about not making it fast enough. I think that those fans in there, it took some time for everybody just to register the gravity of this situation, and they knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then Booger McFarland was sitting there in his analysis. He picked it about maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes early as they went to commercial break on ABC or NBC, I forgot, or
ABC.
ESPN. Correct. ESPN. Yeah. And he was spot on. He said, we can't play football now. And that's a guy that has a lot of years in the league.
Yeah. Sure.
And you can't. And that's the thing. For a guy, if we get a chance to talk with Fox, for somebody who's been, you know, out there, who's been taken out of a game because of an injury, who knows what this is all about, it's just, you know, thank God that he got the care that, you know, and I've been reading everything there is to read about this, and that these training staffs now are so highly trained. Mm-hmm. When 10 years ago, it wouldn't have been that.
Yeah, this would have been different.
10 years ago, people taped ankles. That's what the training staff
did. Mm-hmm. Did you know, Mike, that the AEDs, the automated external defibrillators, you can buy one for less than $1,000?
I didn't know that. I know they have them all over the senior golf courses down here.
But you have one in your bag, don't you?
I have one under the table here now.
Well, even how they work, because I was asking... You know, my brother-in-law, I said, how do those work? Do you still, he goes, well, you probably think you use paddles. I said, well,
the thing where they put it and they go,
clear.
It's automatic. They literally tell you where to put the stickers. Mm-hmm. It detects if there's, something going on, and it
arrhythmia.
Tells you, arrhythmia.
And automatically jolts.
It automatically tells you it's going to jolt. If there's no arrhythmia, it doesn't jolt.
And I heard today that because of this incident, you're going to see more of those with immediate access at the college level and even the high school level. They're going to have those around because it is an amazingly almost DJ, or as we used to say, DJ proof, idiot proof way that can save a life. Right. Just the very fact that it has access.
You know what? So first of all, my thought is when Oscar says that, I just hope and pray that and by the way, thoughts and prayers get too much of a knock. It's what we say.
Yeah.
All right. It's an expression that indicates you're thinking about this individual. You are hoping against hope that this individual makes a full recovery. So I accept that. I get tired of people slamming that. You know, we're tired of your thoughts and prayers. No. Don't ever be tired of that. I've always been a believer in my little world of spiritualism that the more people you get thinking about somebody, the better it is.
Yeah.
Whatever. Don't care. We have to be human. And we were all so human that night. It was just something that in this pandemonium of an NFL crowd to see everybody say, okay, F it.
Yeah.
Screw that. You know, everybody filed out. Game's postponed. Yeah, of course it is. See you later.
Yeah.
They walked out. Nobody was bitching about it. No. Nobody was complaining about it. Nobody cared who you voted for. Nobody cared about any of that stuff. And it's just, it was nice to see during what was a very, very difficult time. And then I was up. Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe because I have a son. I don't know what it is. But I stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning, hoping that I'd get an update. I knew I wasn't at 2 a.m., went to bed. First thing in the morning, checked to see what was going on. And that was during that first 24 hours that was radio silence, where you really didn't know what was going on. You know,
I think the majority of the viewers or people that knew what had happened were dreading the worst in the morning.
Sure.
Yeah. I was worried. I wanted to see. I reached out to our number one Buffalo fan who was, dealing with that. And, you know, it's just it just goes up the line, right? It goes up the line from the family that's there, watching this kid play to the teammates and then the guys on the other side that are right there are living it. And then you move into the fans that are, you know, there that know who he is and have been following him. And it just goes right up the line until it gets to somebody like me who doesn't have a dog in the football fight with, but I am a football fan. And I just, you know, I still at this juncture want. We all want that good news, and we all want to see that kid walk out of the hospital, and I hope that comes sooner than later. As far as your brother-in-law is concerned, right away, the I don't even know the medical Latin term for it.
I wrote it down. I can't read it.
Did he call it? Did he call it right away, that's what it was?
Because we were both, for the first 20 minutes, under the impression that it was the collision, because
a head injury.
Yeah, it was a head injury, and I it's it, but that's football, right? We're talking about just concussions. So you're not thinking about this like one in a billion chance of this blow creating an arrhythmia, like an extra beat that then creates the shutdown.
Right.
That's why these AEDs are so critical. Because I asked him. I said, look. If I'm by myself and we're at Podville, and in short order, by the way, we've ordered an AED machine to be on our floor. I know there's one in the lobby of our building, but I don't know if there's one in our little corridor that's coming in. But you sit there and you're like, what do I do? They said, if you're alone, he said, find that AED machine. And it almost acts like a monitor. Like after you clear the airway, you make sure that, you know, someone, you get some help, or have someone call EMS and then find the AED machine so you can put them on somebody.
I didn't realize that it actually senses what is needed.
On its own.
That's amazing. That's very cool.
Does he, now that he knows, and I'm not asking him.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's not.
But the kid, Damar Hamilton, Hamlin, still on a ventilator as we go to broadcast today. He said a few weeks we're talking about, hopefully.
Well, he said look, in fairness to my brother, and I'm paraphrasing here. He said there are instances where they defib on the field. Like, these are like kids games or in other places or on the golf course, Mike. And boom, people come right back. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen this, but, you know, they're like, oh, like, all right, you're up and you're running. We'll take you to the hospital. But there are instances like this where you essentially just, you have to let the body start healing itself and run into preventive measures. So what we've seen, what we've heard on the field, they did everything they could have done. And now it's the care on the back end, right? And with the hospital in Cincinnati there, if I think it's University of Cincinnati, it's one of the best hospitals in the world.
And his uncle, who is Dorian Glenn, has said that they started his heart again on the way to the hospital when they were doing that. He told CNN, he said, I'm just glad he's still alive and able to fight. I just want to show my gratitude to the medical staff that were on hand. If it were not for them, my nephew probably wouldn't even be here.
Yeah. So, and the lung damage could come from many reasons that doesn't have to do with the blow. If you have to intubate somebody,
his lungs are damaged, they say. Yeah,
anything like that. But it's still something he could hypothetically, you know, you can hope for the best.
And so they're taking it day by day. That's the latest update. They are, Hamilton is now on a ventilator, lying face down. Hamlin, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Hamlin, I've gotten the name messed up like 10 times. He's on a ventilator lying face down in a hospital bed to keep pressure off his damaged lungs, Glenn said. Now, this is the uncle. I don't know if this is an accurate assessment. Doctors are aiming to get him breathing on his own, but we'll continue taking it day by day. So we will.
You can't rush that. The critical aspect is, and this is also mentioned, is if you wake him up too early.
Okay.
The uncle also
said that his health is trending upwards in a positive way.
Yeah.
Let's hope that's the case. Mm. And I don't know if the damage to the lungs would be because of the hit or because of the heart stoppage. You don't know.
Oh, no, or the intubation.
With the intubation.
That could also be,
where they have to put the tube in. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. And that was interesting to, you know, just see the amazing coming together of so many people with that. Maybe have a little faith. And then, of course, you know, I pick up the newspaper and read the next day's story and go back to realizing we are.
We're
a terrible species.
Horrible.
Anyway, that's it. We got to take a break. We will come back with the homepage, lots more fun. And then later in the show, I'll talk about our new listener initiative, which I just pulled out of my ass. Anyway, we'll do that when we come back. Lots more fun right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa.
Welcome to Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve on ABC. I'm Twitch in Times Square, and we're just about ready to ring in the new year to count it down for us America's favorite teenager. Let's kick it back to the studio in the undead corpse of Dick Clark.
This is Dick Clark, New Year's Rockin' Eve.
While Dick is getting ready to ring in the new year, I wanted to remind you that it's not too late to make your resolution to subscribe to the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. All the details are at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Gags Gang working overtime.
Is the Gags Gang getting a little edgier for 2023?
Maybe, yeah. It's new.
Oh, Daddy did not see that one coming.
That's a good surprise.
Whatever your reason is for wanting to make a change, Noom Weight is ready to help. Noom Weight is different. It uses psychology to help you understand your eating habits and learn how to make healthier choices every day. Do you eat because you're bored? Or you can't pass up food when it's free? If the answer is yes, don't stress. Noom Weight can help you break the cycle and change your habits for good. Losing weight starts with your brain. And Noom Weight's approach is based on scientific principles that help you better understand your relationship with food. To date, Noom Weight has helped more than 4.6 million people lose weight. And active first-time Noomers lose an average of 15 pounds in 16 weeks. 95% of customers say Noom Weight is a good long-term solution. I love Noom Weight because it works. I log my weight in there sometimes when I've had a long holiday break. It's a little more painful than others, but I'll be back. Oscar loves it. I love it. Carla loves it. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom Weight's psychology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com/TMOS. That's Noom.com/TMOS to sign up for your trial today. And check out Noom's first ever book, The Noom Mindset. That's a deep dive into the psychology of behavior change. Available now wherever books are sold.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is The Homepage.
This is The Homepage, and we begin today with Avengers star Jeremy Renner with all the Damar Hamlin news. You might have missed this. He posted a selfie from his hospital bed yesterday. He captioned it, quote, "Thank you all for your kind words. I'm too messed up now to type, but I send love to you all." This was a weird, fluky snowplow accident where it sounds like he got run over by his snowplow. There's been no official update on Jeremy Renner's health. Last we heard, Jeremy was in critical but stable condition after suffering blunt chest trauma and orthopedic injuries while plowing snow at his Nevada property. Meanwhile, the local sheriff of Washoe County held a press conference yesterday to explain what happened. So here it is. Jeremy was operating a 14,000-pound snow groomer called a piston bully and was helping a family member whose car had gotten stuck on his private road. After getting the car unstuck, Jeremy hopped off the snow groomer thinking it was in park, but it started rolling. He tried to jump back into it but fell and got run over. 14,000 pounds. God, he's lucky to be alive. Neighbors brought towels and rendered first aid until help could arrive. There was not a doctor present, as previous reports had claimed. It's not clear if a mechanical issue caused the accident or if Jeremy failed to put it in the park before he jumped off. So that's the latest on that one, but that's pretty amazing.
Wow. It's tragic.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Horrible. So he's talking. So he's still with us. Probably not critical anymore. So. Actors on Yellowstone and its spinoff series had to go through a everybody's back to watching Yellowstone again. They had to go through a 2-week cowboy boot camp, and honestly, it sounds fun. The creator Taylor Sheridan has actors partake in it before filming, so the action is authentic. And they do so many outside shots where they're on horseback, you can tell. Brian Garrotti, is it Garrotti? Yeah, it's Garrotti, who plays Zane, 1923 said, quote, "You got to not only ride a horse, but it looks like you know what you're doing. We were running on horses, lassoing. I learned how to use an old six-shooter, weapons training, walking in spurs and chaps. It's a whole different world. We got to have highs and lows together before we started, which was really good for bonding. As adults, it's not easy to learn a new skill." Cole Hauser, my favorite. I got a man crush on him. He plays Rip in Yellowstone. He mentioned the boot camp back in November, and he said, "What is this?
Back in the saddle again."
No, no.
Is this Gene Autry?
It is Gene Autry, Mike.
Oh, God. He and Taylor taught him roping, Cole Hauser. So that's
it's it actually works out well because Harrison Ford remembers a lot of the stuff from when he was little before cars were invented. Out where
a friend is a friend. How dare you, Mr. President? That's my worst impression in the world right there. How dare you, Mr. President? Yeah, I mean, how old is Harrison Ford now? Is he almost 80?
Gotta be.
Oh, he's gotta be almost 90.
He's 1,000 years old.
Let me look.
You got an Oscar?
Yeah. All right, here's a cat fight for you. Got a good 2023 cat fight. Ryan Seacrest may technically compete with CNN's Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen on New Year's Eve, but there are no hard feelings between them. Or are they?
Oh.
As Keith Morrison would say, perhaps all is not 80. As good as it seems. He's 80.
Wow.
Yesterday on Live with Kelly and Ryan, Seacrest suggested that Andy snubbed him during their competing broadcast. Oh, you bitch.
Maybe he just gave him the side eye.
Here's the quote from Ryan Seacrest. God. And I'm so glad I didn't watch either one of their shows. He said, "My big stage was right in front of Anderson and Andy. When I was not working, I was trying to get their attention. Hi,
I'm me.
I just wanted to wave and say hi. They have a great show." What's the deal here? He said that Anderson acknowledged him and told him to, quote, "have a good show." But Andy...
like Beth Ann used to say to you, Mike.
Every day. Oh, it's like the kiss of death. I remember. You now you got me on sidetracked on that.
Sorry.
I remember that. Wait. Have a great show.
When is that a bad thing? Is that a bad thing?
To say have a great show?
Yeah.
Sure. Anyway,
I mean, I don't know. I'm asking. Like, okay,
you have to know Rob and my abnormal personality.
And also, Oscar, if you look in an old biblical film when a plague hits a town and they have that low, slow-moving fog that kills everybody, that was what Beth Ann brought to a broadcast.
Okay. Stop it. Stop that.
That's true.
Anyway.
I was there. I saw it.
Thank you, Barney.
So Anderson said, have a great show. And Andy never turned around. This is from Ryan Seacrest. But Kelly Ripa said, quote, "That's not true." Well, what do you know about it? You weren't on the show. He said he was trying to get your attention. Oh, so I guess she talked to Andy Cohen.
Of course she did.
Of course she would talk to Andy Cohen. During last year's broadcast, a very drunk Andy Cohen actually trashed Ryan and ABC's New Year's coverage. He said, quote, "If you look behind me, you'll see Ryan Seacrest's group of losers performing."
I remember that.
I'm sorry, but if you're watching ABC, you're watching nothing. Wow.
Now, yeah.
I made that determination.
I fast forwarded through a lot of the coverage on New Year's Day because I went to bed at 11 on New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. But there was actually, Ryan had three great minutes. Duran Duran was great, but you can't build an entire show around 3 minutes.
Did you record Dolly and Miley?
Mike, I watched that whole thing.
Wasn't it great?
It was fantastic. And actually,
it was a variety show like it was last year. That's the formula. Just perform. That's all we need. And costume changes. And Miley, who I've now become a massive fan of.
Great old man moment from Grandpa Condo Bob, who I was talking to on New Year's Day. He says, "I was almost asleep at midnight, and all these fireworks went off and woke me up." I said, "Because you're in Miami. Those were Miley's fireworks. Weren't you watching television?"
Well, that could be anywhere in the great state of Florida.
I suppose. But it was the big guys. It was the big guys he saw, yeah.
Anyway, Andy Cohen later apologized, and this year CNN banned alcohol for on-air talent.
I think that's wise.
I didn't watch either one of their shows. Miley, respect for her elders.
Yes.
Bringing the lovely Dolly Parton out there. And then having great modern musical acts as well as some of the classic performers. And the fact that she brought David Byrne out from the Talking Heads.
That was great.
Was spectacular.
And even the two or three little Saturday Night Live bits they did were actually pretty funny. The one about the guys at South Beach was great.
Yes. I totally agree with that. I thought it worked. If you had a real Christmas tree this year, you may be thinking about how you're going to dispose of it. Well, here is a reminder. You can eat it.
Don't just look at it.
Eat it. A few years back, we heard about an artisan baker and cook in the UK who wrote a book called How to Eat Your Christmas Tree.
No.
It features dozens of recipes you can make using your tree that you can eat. The author of the book says you can pretty much eat the whole thing. The trend may be picking up steam. Reports this week say that growing numbers of eco-conscious households are eating various parts before throwing them out. And the author confirms that it's gaining traction. The needles can be used like rosemary or bay leaves. Well, that's a lot of rosemary.
Tell me about it.
Give me a break.
I mean, you spend $2 for 3 sprigs of rosemary. This is a tree, folks.
Yeah, well, who knows? A good source of vitamin C, too. They can also be crushed to flavor gin or vinegar. And the wood can be burned to make pine ash, which can be used as flavoring, a fertilizer in gardens, and for cleaning the kitchen.
It's a horrible thing to burn.
That's not eating, though. Those last things aren't eating, so you're just getting a splash to say, eat your Christmas tree.
Don't eat your Christmas tree.
And, lick it.
You know, buy a fake tree and don't eat it.
Yeah, that's more eco-conscious.
This year, I didn't throw away my fake tree. I ate it.
Yeah. Well, that's good for years. You burned it every year, didn't you?
I did. I burned it every year. God, it sounded like it smelled like an electrical fire.
I said, take it outside. You said, nope, I'm burning it right here. Yeah.
This almost sounds like it could be the premise for a road trip-themed Home Alone movie. Last week, a 55-year-old man in Thailand pulled off the side of the road in the middle of the night to use the restroom. His wife was sleeping in the back seat, but after he got out, she decided that she could also use the bathroom. The man came back, accidentally drove off without her, thinking she was still sleeping in the back, and he drove around 100 miles before he realized she wasn't there. The woman didn't have a phone or any money. So she decided to start hoofing it on foot because she didn't want to stand around waiting on the side of the road. She walked 13 miles before finding a police station at 5 a.m. There aren't any specific details about how they reunited, but they did. Sounds like the police were able to let the man know where to pick up his wife.
She survived, Mike, by eating a Fraser fir.
Yeah, Fraser. And there's no truth to the rumor that's floating around. The man said, keep her. And now... little something-something from my state, of course.
Yeah.
We couldn't begin 2023 without a story from Florida. Austin Davis, which, by the way, every third person in Florida is named Austin Davis.
Really? Not enough Trents.
He's explained in detail that he has eaten a strict diet of Velveeta macaroni and cheese for the past 17 years in a short film. It's a documentary. It's on Vice. The 20-year-old goes into detail about his love for the cheesy pasta as nothing else seems to excite his taste buds. Mr. Davis, well, this should tell you all you need to know. He lives with his grandparents.
Oh, that's nice.
Richard and Faye in a small town. And in the short film, he goes on a trip to the local grocery store to pick up his favorite meal. As he scours the shelves alongside the documentary crew, Mr. Davis refers to the meat section of the grocery store as a hellscape, claiming that he is unfamiliar with most vegetables. He has a thing called selective eating disorder, which is also known as avoidant restrictive food intake disorder. Oscar has the same thing when he goes to a restaurant. That's why he orders chicken fingers. That's the way it happened. Mr. Davis is now seeing a therapist. I think that's wise.
Yeah.
And hopes to expand his diet beyond macaroni and cheese in the future. His top choices so far, baby corn dogs, orange Jello, and grape Kool-Aid.
Oh, yum.
We wish him the very, very best of luck with his eating disorder. Every meal for that amount of time.
That, you know what his New Year's resolution is to have a bowel movement.
Better line. Better line. Thank you. That's it. We got to take a break, and we will come back with more fun right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa.
Yay.
Has this ever happened to you?
This guy saw me running. Wait, he's closing the door, pretending like he hasn't seen me as dick. I'm yelling.
Step up to a new experience in airline travel that's made for a powerful, sophisticated business leader like you.
I buy, you fly.
Santana Airlines shows you the difference between getting where you're going and leading the way.
It's not like we're in a hurry to go anywhere.
Santana Airlines, where everyone is treated like a CEO.
I'm a CEO.
I'm the president, she's vice president.
And as you enjoy the synergy of the amazing skies, use what little bandwidth you think is actionable and circle back to the amazing deals at the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center.
Leverage the value proposition of that low-hanging fruit. At the end of the day, it's a win-win. Just pivot and click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
It's amazing.
Hold that
plane. Won't you... Oscar flies today, Mike. Yes.
Yes.
Very good. Yeah. What's your New Year's resolution? If you're like most of us, there's a box of home movies and photos tucked in a closet that you've been meaning to preserve, but you weren't sure where to start. Legacy Box makes it easy. Simply send in your Legacy Box filled with home movies and photos. Get back digital copies that can be easily enjoyed, shared, and organized. It's like magic. Legacy Box is a super simple mail-in service to have all your videotapes, camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures converted to perfectly preserved digital files. Plus, Legacy Box is the industry leader and has helped over a million customers safeguard their past. It's the simplest way to preserve your precious memories and check off that New Year's resolution. Rob preserved his wedding and the birth of his kids. I can watch my parents smoke on their honeymoon long before I was born. And trust me, there's nothing cuter than baby Oscar. He's such a cute little
boy. He's a good boy.
Kick off the new year by rescuing your family's most cherished memories. Visit LegacyBox.com/TMOS to take advantage of this exclusive offer. That's LegacyBox.com/TMOS. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I mentioned it at the top and on social media, the new listener initiative, and it's very simple. It's easier than you may have thought. It's really not all that big a deal. It just sounds big. We're just asking all of you in Listen Land, share the show.
Yes.
Share the show.
We need
with
to
your
grow,
friends
grow,
at
grow.
Work. Not only do we offer you the complete broadcast every single day in a variety of platforms, both video and audio, but we have little snippets that you can play all the time. So yeah. If you got a particular snippet that you like, please, 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 share.
So shareable. Easy to do.
Shareable. Yeah, it's like a Lunchable.
Yeah, it is. Shareables. Mike O'Mara's shareables.
Absolutely.
Tip of the hat, tip of the cap. Man, I'll never get that right. Again, don't get happy. It's 2023. Matt and Rob, we're going to continue to up our game here with the social clips, but they're getting better and better.
And that's how we grow. And yeah. We the fact that we've held our own and continued to find success with this show is one of the most gratifying things in the world to me. We're excited about 2023 with the first live show in a very long time in New Orleans,
pumped.
Louisiana.
Yes.
A limited number of tickets are still available for that. Those are the stragglers. We always limp to the finish line with that. But as we get closer to April 15th, be aware of the fact that those tickets are going to go. So might be a good idea for you if you're on the fence to pick them up in case.
Yeah.
Get those tickets.
To Carrie Spiewak over the break about... New Orleans.
Lucky you.
Rob knows that. Yeah.
I knew she was going to call you.
She said,
talk to somebody else.
Does Rob need to be there on Thursday or can he get there on Friday? And I said, this is such an awkward conversation for a grown man to have about another grown man, but not have it with him. So it was like,
do you know anything about this, Rob? Why was your mom calling Oscar?
No, because she's handling the accommodations, and she wanted to know which was the best way to do it. And that's what she's handling.
Is that what the conversation was about?
Yeah, as when we arrived, so she needs to know if we needed a place to arrive.
That sounds like a lie. Because why? Because she's calling to find out if you can leave later. And
no, because we need a place. If we get there on Thursday, we'll need a place for Thursday night. She's trying to figure out the Airbnb situation.
Were you suspicious when she called you, Oscar?
Well, it was a text exchange. I wasn't. Okay. I thought something was wrong because, you know, just their sheer 2022. I was like, I hope everything's okay.
Yeah.
You mean something wrong with Rob?
With Rob.
Well, let me tell you this. If I was going to drink, this would have been the week for it. So I didn't. I didn't. All as well.
Oh, yay. Okay.
Yeah, so, thank you.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good for you.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I can understand with the text exchange, Oscar, you were thinking something might be up. Like what? Yeah. Transplant?
Yeah, I was like, is there something? We're on the same page.
And it was,
you were there.
That's what I would think.
It was a two-part text. It was, what is the best arrival day for New Orleans, and what is your blood type?
It turned out to be, can he get there on Friday? And I said, with respect to you and the fam, no.
Yeah, and I told her as much, but she was double-checking.
So. Well, I said two things, and I thought I was thoughtful with my answer. I said,
did she want to go Friday instead of Thursday at all, or was there a slight desire? That's why you made her call. I'm not telling him. You call. If you want to go later, call him and ask.
She
right?
wanted to make sure that if we were going to get the Airbnb for an extra day, it was needed. That's the thing. So I said, I think we need to be there Thursday. She said, are you sure? And at this point, she never listens to anything I say. My advice is immediately disregarded. And I said, well, she said, I could call.
Text the man.
I said, you can go. You can check with Oscar. And she said, I'll check with Oscar. I said, great. Do it. Do that. That'll be fun.
I said, it's SOP for us to get there early.
Right.
To make sure if there are any issues.
Got to get there. Got to get in a car accident.
If there are any flight delays.
Right.
If there are any issues.
Right. Right.
We don't have, you know.
Yeah. We have a cushion. That's right. Yeah.
Okay, well, we're excited about that. 2023, the new listener initiative. Share. All right. Don't just be enjoying the show yourself. Really be, I think it's important with the size of our listener base that we have a little army. We have an army that marches out there and promotes the show to everybody. But a lot of you already do this, and we're aware of that, and we say thank you. But for those of you that haven't, that are enjoying this show, please share it. That would be helpful for us, and that's how we try to grow, because we don't have the budget to put out a big marketing campaign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and outside of me, you know, standing out on Main Street in Southwest Florida with my balls hanging out, it's not, you know.
Although, Mike, you've gotten much better spinning that sign, the big arrow. You do so much better with that.
By the way, if I did that, there'd be cornstarch everywhere. No. I watched Chef last night. I watched Jon Favreau in
great
Chef,
movie.
Which, by the way, is a really great movie. I watch it all the time when it comes out. It's one of my. It's on my list now.
Makes me so hungry.
And they're, oh, God, yeah, the food is fantastic. Mm. They're driving across the country, and I think they're in a humid part of the country. Yeah. And John Leguizamo is putting cornstarch in his shorts. And then I said, can I have some of that? Favreau says. And then the little kid does. Mm-hmm. And with Michael's love of ball humor right now, it's a charming little scene. Now that Michael's 9, I love it even more because the kid in the movie is 10. Yeah. So it's a lot of
fun. Just save some cornstarch to thicken your sauces. But other than that, you're fine. Yeah.
This is true. That's the way I go. I have to tell you that Rob has been... 7-8 months now without a drinky poo.
Yeah, be 9 months this month, I guess. 10.
So I have to share this one, all right? Because it wouldn't be a back to the work show if I didn't share something my wife shared with me, or observed me, or commented on me that was not just flattering and love inspiring and all that. So you're gonna know what it is as soon as I tell you this show that we're watching. We're watching a show now. I don't know. I think it's Showtime. And it's George and Tammy, and Carla has taken to really enjoying comparing me to George Jones.
Well, that's quite flattering, no?
Yes, super duper flattering.
I mean, he's a Country Hall of Famer. You probably played him back in the day when you were a country DJ.
I certainly did.
Yeah.
I will tell you though, honey, I'd like to say this publicly now. I know I've had my moments. But I have never destroyed the house on Christmas Eve, and I have never not shown up for live appearances like George Jones.
No show Jones.
No show Jones.
Yeah.
And so there are moments where she is trying to get him to stop drinking. And
ladies and gentlemen, Mike O'Mara.
Welcome to the Grand Ole Opry. I'm George Jones.
Well, in North Carolina, way back in the hill, near my old pappy, and he had him
I love George Jones, by the way.
He really didn't show up places?
Oh, no, never.
They wrote it. Can you look up George No Show Jones?
Yeah.
Can you look it up, Rob?
Sure. It's absolutely. Showtime for sure.
They call me No Show Jones. I'm hardly ever on the stage of singing my song. I'm hardly ever. They call me No Show Jones. No Show Jones.
It's one of my all-time favorites, too. I love that. But what I don't need when I'm watching these moments where George Jones is imbibing.
Yes.
And I'll look over at Carla. Okay, so from the side, Carla's even going.
What is he doing? Where she's
he's a bit of an angry drunk.
Yeah, yeah. And they he have a little... Would you say that he and Tammy have sort of a checkered past?
Well, they're together. I think their marriage lasted a total of 5 years. They were in love on stage, but he was impossible. He was a horrible, raging alcoholic who, it manifested itself where he would just leave a meeting, have something that he was scheduled to do, and just vanish and go on a bender. That's what he would do. And you can look at the guy, especially later in life, and see that's some hard living right there.
Oh, yeah.
That makes a man look that. By the way, his nickname was Possum. And if you look at George Jones, he looks like Possum. I'm not sure Michael Shannon or Jessica Chastain. Is this No Show Jones?
Live in Tennessee, yes.
Listen to this. Great song.
How we doing?
Howdy, George.
Oh, bless your heart.
Bless your hearts. I love y'all real good.
From Tennessee to our video tonight. And to our
this is late in his career he did this live concert.
We're going to have a great big time. I can see that already.
We're going to open like this at our live show.
Hey, George, did you know Waylon and old Willie are the Outlaws?
I'll let you hear a little bit of this. It's pretty good.
Did you know Roger was the king on the road?
Uh-huh.
You got it, Possum.
Possum.
Everyone knows Hank's been in prison.
We didn't know that.
Rough life.
Dollar's got two big reasons that she's well known.
Look out, they call me No Show.
You call me No Show.
What a country singer. I love him. The reason he got away with all the crap he did is because he showed the weakness of man, and people relate to that, all right?
Mike, I'm looking at this video, and you don't have to act like him, but you should consider getting your hair done like this.
I know, that wonderful 70s and 80s haircut. Yeah, the flip that he has. Anyway, that's George Jones.
He's
and,
great.
Thank
good
you,
show.
So. But it's a really good show. I like it. I think it comes back on tonight to catch up with the episode. So it's not bad at all. And honey, I'm not George Jones. Thank you very much.
What country singer are you more like?
Oh boy, that's a good question. There are lots of them that were.
I've always seen you as a Tanya Tucker.
We'll take a short break and come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. Everybody, that's Rob Spiewak that said that. Yep, that's when I know I'm back at work, people. We'll come back and talk to Oscar and Rob about what they did. Mm-hmm. One of them was really dumb. Really. How could you have gone there? Anyway, we'll be right back.
How's it going, Mike?
I have an issue with printer streaking.
A disembodied voice
says, is it a laser printer?
Yeah. The solution was on the other side of this wall.
That's right.
Saying nothing. Yeah. He's like, no, just shake it.
Oh, that's not going to work. Just take the cartridges out and shake them.
Ichabod weighs in with shake it.
Shake it, baby. Right.
Are you having technical issues with the Mike O'Mara Show or the TMOS Bonus Show?
That's right.
Have you tried unplugging it and plugging it back in? Never fear. Just email Ichabod at MikeO'MaraShow.com and shake it one time for me, honey.
And that's all.
Shake it. Hey! Oh, shake it one time. Shake it one time for me. Oh, Lordy boy. Yes, sirree. Yeah, they call me No Show Mike. They call me No Show Mike. I'm hardly ever on stage singing my song. He said I love you till I die.
Oh, that's a sad song.
The new year is here, ladies and gentlemen, and there's no better way to kick off 2023 than by making sure you're feeling like your best self. Liquid IV. Love, 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 yes. Love, love. It is the category-winning hydration brand fueling your well-being. And their hydration multiplier...
I hear it.
He said I'll love you till I die. I'm sorry. It's the hydration multiplier, and it may be the one product
oh, Jones
that you're missing in your daily routine. In just one stick, you get 5 essential vitamins and 2 times faster hydration than water alone. Use it first thing in the morning. I do. Before a workout, I do. When you feel run down, I do. After a long night out, I really do. And on long flights, Liquid IV is made with premium ingredients and is non-GMO and free from gluten. 4 is to gluten.
It's 9
is to gluten.
9 gluten.
9 gluten.
9.
Doesn't have dairy or soy. Plus, Liquid IV is on a mission to change the world. They have donated over 25 million servings in over 50 countries around the world. Plus, it's convenient and it is delicious. It's the best way to start your day. So be like me. Drink Liquid IV. Grab your Liquid IV in bulk. That means they've got lots of it nationwide at Costco, or you can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. And here's some good news. We, I think, should give away samples of Liquid IV on the show.
Yeah.
I think
I love that idea. Yes.
If you want to call and be a talking head, you get yourself some Liquid IV.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go. Fun.
Just email me, rob@mikeomaraShow.com. We can make that happen.
2 things that we have to get to here. First, we will deal with Rob Spiewak and the fact that you had some sort of crisis down at West Virginia University.
We're living it right now because, as you know, when it's Christmas time, everyone leaves the fraternity house.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already discussed in the past how well run the management company of the fraternity house, how well they run things.
Well, it's a dive anyway, right?
It is. But they thought with no one there, why pay for heat? So they turned the heat off while everyone was gone.
And the pipes froze?
Frozen burst. And they're looking at...
They turned the heat off?
Off. And Mike, this is the third time... In calendar, on this, I guess you would call it what? A school year, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That the house has been condemned. And because of the busted pipe, Robert has lost his sofa, he's lost his mattress, he's lost his rug, and he has no lock on his door because when they were repairing it, they had to kick his door open. So right now they are looking.
What, do you have a padlock on it?
Well, no, he has a locked door because, you know, he has his own room there.
Combination lock.
Yeah, of course. And it looks like a vault, a bank vault. But
But look at all these Cheetos.
Mike, the Cheetos all floated away. So we're dealing now.
I'm just so stunned that they would be
that stupid. Because
now here's the thing. I think
Morgantown is colder than DC too. I mean, it took no time for this to happen.
So let me get this right. The kids all leave.
Right.
And they roll out.
Right.
And they've got it set to 68 or
whatever. Yeah, the thermostat is set.
And then a landlord comes in.
The management company comes and kills the heat because there's no one there. The week before Christmas, the pipes freeze solid, bust open, and just destroy the house. And so now there's the matter of getting it repaired. There have been several meetings with the fraternity council. It looks like from what...
I bet that's a brain trust.
Mike, you should have read the notes from the meeting. It was great.
Were they in crayon?
Might as well have been. Eric Stratton, damn glad to meet you. And so it looks like the owner of the house is probably going to default on his mortgage because he can't afford the repairs. So another...
It's just somebody's got to be liable for this, I would think.
Well, yeah, and we have renter's insurance for Robert, but it's still the hassle is not the reimbursement for a mattress and furniture because all the
high-end... It's someplace to live, right?
That's it. And so now they're trying to work with the college to get that worked out. Also, Robert has spotted an apartment, but we also paid for rent through the end of the year at the fraternity house. So you got to get that back.
You'll get that back.
Well, I imagine. So we've already been refunded January. But the fun thing was calling the personal injury attorney because now we're lawyering up to get our money back.
That's a good move.
But anyway, again, and I had so much good fun with Robert, and he's still home for the rest of the week. He's doing great, and it's been so much fun hanging out with him and just trying to keep him positive about this. I said, Robert, you have to admit,
Because that got in his head a little bit, right? Last
really
time
bad,
had to...
really bad. And it really sucks. Messed with him. And I said,
God, how stupid.
I said, Robert, you are not being targeted here. Just know that when you are condemned 3 times in 6 months, that's when it almost starts to be funny. It's just
the management. Is the management company the owner?
They're half owner. They own it with someone else.
The rules,
the whole thing is so
stupid. The people that own it were the people that probably
But in Morgantown, it's still the Wild Wild West.
Yep, it is. It is.
Like, right. So
you live there. You know.
Is it safe to assume? And Rob, you know.
Yeah.
You can't make your kids do what you don't want them to do.
Right.
But is he over this house? Is it over?
Oh, he wants out. Okay. Yeah. If we can get the rent for the duration of the lease refunded, he's already spotted a furnished apartment that he can move into with one of his friends. So they're looking ahead.
All right.
And then also, because the fraternity is not officially recognized and or sanctioned by the college, it's one of those.
And those are the ones you want to join.
Well, that was the one that invited him. And so, and you know, I said, buddy, you know what? You can feel bad about this, but Mom and I okayed it. You know, we all did what we thought was right. It wasn't right.
It was kind of not a real fraternity rose style.
No. And so I said,
did they have those at WVU?
Oh, they've got some beautiful ones. Yeah, they're
on campus.
They're on the other side of town on a hill. Yeah, they're beautiful. They're very nice. They're on the 400 square feet of property of WVU that's pretty.
Yeah.
There's a very limited. Mike, have you ever been to a back lot of a Hollywood studio? That's about what it looks like. Yeah. So we're gonna get that money back. We're gonna get him into a proper place that doesn't have busted pipes.
And he's putting a strain on the fraternity at the unsanctioned fraternity.
I would say, Mike, the fraternal joy is at an all time low right now. The brotherhood is not probably that happy. But the good news is
about how many kids were in the house.
Oh, living there? I think there was 5 or 6 living there, but it's still the meeting center for all the parties and
well,
the
now they can just go to the mountain lair.
Exactly.
Like
they can hang out there. And Robert's got a hotline on a job this
carpet
semester.
Smells like vomit.
Yeah, that was before the flood.
Wait, exactly. So Mike, 5 guys moved back from how many were there originally? Like 20-something?
Oh, God, I don't know. But they had a hard time fulfilling enough people in the house to maintain enough income to
move.
So it was not, he got sort of asked very vigorously to move in. But he does, Mike, and you're going to like this, knowing the limited employment opportunities in Morgantown, West Virginia, he has a hotline on a job for this semester, and he will be interviewing at Bass Pro Shops.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob, you'd like that
place. I know.
Good stuff for
you.
But
it was so funny when we were talking about all this stuff.
Love
he says,
Bass Pro Shops.
He says, and you know, this semester I'm going to get a job probably at Bass Pro Shops. I just said, that's incredibly random. And he said,
that's so cool because he can hide in a place like that.
Yeah.
Great job.
Yeah. Maybe they can offer him a mattress and a sofa.
Take a nap in a canoe.
Exactly.
and probably discounts on camp chairs.
Yes. The wide ones.
All right. Real quick before we go to break here, because I want to do more of this tomorrow, but I want to get all the details on your trip out to L.A., and you'll be back from L.A. tomorrow.
Yes,
but
in studio.
You had mentioned right before the show, very briefly, because we were in a hurry to get to air, but you had talked to, did you really, the day after the holiday, did
January
you really,
2nd.
You went to Disneyland or
no,
Universal
Studios, Hollywood.
Jesus Christ, I mean, that's just, and by the way, most people, correct me if I'm wrong, most people are off this week, right?
Correct. Yeah,
a lot of public schools
are
off this week.
All the kids are off.
It's not an ideal time, Mike, to hit the theme parks. It's a bad time to hit the theme parks.
Growing up, you all said, like, New Year's to Christmas.
You don't go near it.
You don't go.
Right.
You don't. And did you take, like, Bella and Tito and everybody over there?
I took all the kids.
Well, I'm so glad Tito got to go.
My wife.
Wow.
My wife.
I thought, look, it's easy to entertain me. But I also like picking up on the ideas of like, what are they doing new? What's happening? And is it me or
it's a fact finding mission?
It's actually a big deduction.
Universal Studios Orlando is nicer than Universal Studios Hollywood.
More land.
Well, isn't Universal Studios Hollywood more of the real movie
connected
to the real backlog.
It has the real. Originally, it started as a studio tour before they started putting in mummy rides.
You're going to love this.
Yeah. Revenge of the Mummy. Great ride.
Tio Rube.
Tio Rube.
Pulls in.
Tio Rube.
I'm following Google Maps or Apple Maps, whatever's on my sister's car. I pull into the main entrance of Universal Studios, the filmmaking lot.
Oh no.
My God. Where Chaplin went.
Yes. And I'm there.
I have no idea whether it was Chaplin or not.
And I show them.
It would have been Boris Karloff at Universal. Yeah.
Okay.
I show my QR code of all the people.
Yes.
Because I have a stack car. I'm like, we're here for the park. And they're like, sir, this is not the theme park entrance. It's the next left.
Meanwhile, Steven Spielberg's behind him saying, can we get a move on?
Come on now.
I've got
a
sticker.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
All right. Give me three other Universal performers, Smarty Pants. Come on.
Here you go. Oh, Universal? I would say that the Sting was made there. So you have Robert Redford and Paul Newman. And Jaws was made there. So you have Roy Scheider. And also, of course, my favorite of all times, Psycho was made there.
Tony Perkins
and Alfred Hitchcock. And of course, the great Martin Balsam.
Yeah, see, that now it begins to flow like wine. So
the new Jurassic Park ride is worth the wait.
Is it a virtual reality ride or is it one that actually moves?
Actually, it's a water ride.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, worth the wait.
Anything there that could make you do what I did? Throw up?
The amount of people that were there would have made you uncomfortable pre-COVID. Because you're shoulder to shoulder, like literally touching other people as you're being shepherded through.
Did you get a fast pass? Money bags? Did you get a fast pass?
Yes. I don't like to wait. All right. Like, you know that.
It was not crowded at King's Dominion on New Year's Day.
The wait for the Hogwarts ride was 180 minutes.
That's 3 hours.
The fast pass gets you through in 5 minutes in front of the line.
Yeah, they're better than Disney that way.
Mm-hmm.
They are better than Disney. And, the good news is I'll never go to either one of them ever again. Tomorrow, I want to hear more about this, and I also want to talk to you about the movie that we both watched, and fun and thrills and all that stuff.
He stopped loving her today.
Again with that?
Sorry, it's been on my mind for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. We'll come back with the Town of Sound right here. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Michael Mara Show.
Hi, everyone. I'm Twitch. Will you be an angel for a helpless creature? It's a new year, and it's also a renewed chance to show you care. Do you have room in your heart this year? Do you have room in your home? Do you have room to adopt Jim Amato?
I won't take up much room.
For just pennies a day, Jim Amato can live comfortably in your home.
I'm almost completely housebroken.
Those same pennies a day will bring you a year's worth of joy and laughter when you subscribe to the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
I'll mow your lawn.
And remember, if you're cold, Jim Amato is cold.
I'm so cold.
Bring him inside with you, and thank you.
Those boys got creative over the break, didn't they? They had a little writing session.
A little drinky, maybe, bless their hearts.
Oh, fantastic. Amato in Twitch Studios. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Here's a message from Sleep Number. Quality sleep is important as we start a new year with new resolutions. Look, I've been doing a lot of deep dives in many different areas, and I really have become more acutely aware of sleep and its relation to your health. It's hard to describe just how great a good night's sleep is for you on so many metrics when it comes to your health. It can help you reach the goals that are important to you by making a positive impact on your overall health and mental well-being. Make Sleep Number your number one goal. Whether you've set out to exercise more, eat healthier, or parent with patience, most of your resolutions benefit from quality sleep. Resolve to get your bedroom sleep ready by clearing the clutter and removing electronics that may give off stimulating blue light. Look for things that can help you track your sleep, like Sleep Number 360 smart beds with Sleep IQ technology that can show you how long, how well, and when you slept. Remember, keep the thermostat a neutral 65 to 68 degrees at night, which is ideal for sleep, and wear breathable fabric pajamas and nightwear to keep from overheating. My sleep number setting is now I'm an 85 now.
Wow.
I've tweaked on it. Yeah, I want to make that change. Carla remains at a 65. She's a featherweight. She has the same thing all the time. Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because to be your best every day, you need proven quality sleep every night. Discover special offers now for a limited time at your local Sleep Number store or at sleepnumber.com/TMOS. And on a final note, make sure the Boston Terrier's paws are not aimed right at your beanbag. Thank you very much.
We call this Stereophonic Sound.
Sound Town.
Mike, as we approach 31 years as a broadcast couple,
yes.
One thing remains to be seen or remains true is that every time we take a holiday break, celebrities pass away at Christmas time.
It always happens.
I know we lost Pele over the holidays, mm-hmm. which is that is a huge blow to the soccer.
Yeah, right after the World Cup, it's a massive story.
And also, Barbara Walters, dead at age 93.
More than being remembered, I hope that by younger women, I can help them aspire.
This is the house that Barbara Walters built.
Whoopi.
Because you're really the reason why we're all here. You're the reason why I wanted to be in television.
And we all proudly stand on your shoulders, Barbara Walters.
Very much the role model for a lot of people in the showbiz and in the news world.
I have been blessed with a life I never expected, and helping me up the steps of the ladder over the years have been hundreds of people.
She's been around so long, but I still didn't realize she was 93. That is a long run.
I offer this insight on Barbara Walters when I think about my late Aunt Mary, who was one of the very, very first, I'm talking about way before Barbara Walters, ad executives and vice president at a Madison Avenue in ad agency in New York City, Young and Rubicam. Look it up. You'll know how big they are. And the level of toughness required to succeed in these male-dominated areas.
Yeah.
Barbara Walters had the same thing. It was a toughness. She didn't take any crap from anybody because she had to blaze her own trail and really knew how to do it. She did not have the broadcast tools that many female broadcasters have. She wasn't the classic anchor woman, and she didn't sound like the classic anchor person. But she made Anchor, and then she had one of the most watched television shows in the history of TV, and did it, and then created After All That, which you would say that's a career.
Yeah,
she built The View,
true,
and did it, and she was an amazing talent, a great interview, and she could make people cry.
Yeah,
which Americans love to watch. You should have brought that up, Barbara. and competed a little bit with Diane Sawyer, but.
Really no contest, I think.
I don't think so at all. Yeah. No.
Another one that was sad and tragically young, Anita Pointer of the Pointer Sisters, mm-hmm. dead at age 74. Two things I want to point out. I mean, we all know the hits, Neutron Dance, I'm So Excited, all the big records of the 80s. But a lot of people don't know the Pointer Sisters sang this song on Sesame Street. The 12 song about the pinball machine. And people of a certain age, like me, will remember this immediately.
11, 12. You used this to count your donuts, didn't you?
Exactly. Mike, I know all the songs as we count them down. And then this one is, this is a particular favorite of mine. The Pointer Sisters, you don't think of them as country artists. They won a Grammy for this song, but it was really not a huge hit. Elvis covered it, and you wouldn't think that there would be an overlap between Elvis Presley.
I love the Pointer Sisters, by the way.
I do, really too. Do. And you wouldn't think there'd be an overlap between the Pointer Sisters and Elvis Presley, but on Elvis's 1975 album, I believe it was just called Elvis, he did this Pointer Sisters record. It's a great song. But Anita Pointer wrote this song and sang lead on their version.
Totally different version.
Actually pretty similar. He preserved a lot of
it's a country song.
Yeah.
Right? Use me, you deceive me, and you never
seem to need me, but I bet. But when you talk about the wide breadth of a career, if you can write country music and the music that they did in the 80s, Pointer Sisters, great organization.
I remember being a program director at a contemporary music station.
Right.
And it was almost a lock.
Yes.
When a Pointer Sisters song would come across my desk. It was almost a stone cold lock. And as a club DJ as well, Neutron Dance.
Oh, great.
Out of that.
Yeah.
Just love that.
And for over a year, remember Showtime, the cable network, used I'm So Excited as their theme?
Fire. I forgot about that one.
Oh, Fire's a great one, too. Dean, yeah.
Dean, you're driving in your car. Oh, man.
But anyway, so Safe Home, and that's a Too Young. And let's close.
And June's gone, too, right?
Yes. Yeah. Bonnie's still around, I believe.
Okay.
Let's close with this. Now, we all have talked about how Huskies, as far as dogs go, are the most vocal dogs.
Yes.
Okay.
And when they figure out that they can yowl, that's always a tragedy in the house that is owning a husky, especially if you have a husky and a toddler. And the toddler realizes that if the toddler screams, the husky screams. And as a father of two, all I think of when I hear that is you can't take the batteries out of that. I'm sorry. No. That's the husky. No. That's the toddler. And Mike.
Oh, you know what I didn't do?
What?
I didn't put in the new closing music. Do you have it?
I do, as a matter of fact.
Sorry about that.
That's quite all right.
So I don't think it would be appropriate. That'd be like playing a Christmas commercial right after Christmas.
No, we don't want to do that. So, Mike, that's all I got.
All right. There it is. I'll update that too. That's the one thing that slipped through the cracks.
This happens.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? Tomorrow, we're all reunited, sort of. I mean, I'm still down here where I always am. You know. Well, Oscar comes back to Washington.
Oh, that's
where
right. That's right.
You know.
That's if No Show O'Mara makes it.
Yeah. He said, I'll love her till I die. Anyway, we got to get out of here. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Michael Mara saying so long, everybody, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Michael Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MichaelMaraShow.com.
Michael Mara, Radio Entertainment.
You want to do that ending again? What?
We can. Because they're on the same thing.
Okay.
So I will fix that.
That's it. You'll fix that in post?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. We're out of here. Bye, everybody.
See you. Toodles and whatnot.
Takes a while to get back into it.